From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Nearly 65 years after the fighting ceased on the Korean Peninsula, President Donald Trump announced at a press conference that peace may well be, in essence, at hand. Today we bring you part two of the one-hour press conference from Singapore featuring President Trump.
If you look, there has been no missile launches. They've blown up their missile area that's going to take place. That has not been written into the contract. We're going to give you the exact details on that. But they secured a halt of all missiles and of all nuclear tests. They secured the closure of their single primary nuclear test flight, test site, all three of them there in an area that's common around each other. They secured the closure. They secured the commitment to destroy the missile engine testing site. That was not in your agreement. I got that after we signed the agreement. I said, do me a favor. You've got this missile engine testing site. We know where it is because of the heat. It's incredible the equipment we have, to be honest with you. I said, can you close it up? You're going to close it up. We maintain the ability to continue to apply sanctions. So we're applying sanctions. Now, I had 300 sanctions that I was getting ready to put on last week, and I said, you know, I can't really put on sanctions when I'm meeting with. I thought it would be very disrespectful. 300 very big ones, powerful ones, and I said it would be disrespectful. So, Jennifer, when you look at all of those things that we got, and when we got our hostages back, I didn't pay $1.8 billion in cash, like the hostages that came back from Iran, which was a disgraceful situation, what took place. So we've gotten a lot. So when I hear somebody in the media say that President Trump has agreed to meet, like, it's not a big deal to meet. I think we should meet on a lot of different topics, not just this one. And I really believe a lot of great things can happen. Yes, go ahead, please.
Sir, you just listed off a lot of things that you say you've got from this meeting. It wasn't too long ago, though, that you said you defined the success of this meeting by North Korea giving up its nuclear weapons.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Well, can you talk about how...
Sure,
how
that's what they're doing. I mean, I don't think
Kim Jong-un for a complete, verifiable, irreversible...
Yeah, I didn't, honestly...
Can you say why you didn't secure those details in this agreement?
Because there's no time. I'm here one day. We're together for many hours intensively, but the process is now going to take place. And I would be surprised, Mike, if they haven't even started already. They have started. They blew up their sites. They blew up their testing site. So, but I will say, he knew prior to coming, you know, this wasn't like a surprise. It wasn't like we've never discussed it. We discussed it. Mike discussed it very strongly with his counterpart in North Korea. They knew that this was, let's say they didn't agree to that, I couldn't sign any agreement. There was no agreement that could have been signed. So they understood that. And it wasn't a big point today because really this had been taken care of more than any other thing because it was all about this. This has been taken care of before we got here. So when we brought that up today, you see the language, it's very strong. It's in the document. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you talk about the military consequences for North Korea if they don't follow through on the commitments that you're talking about?
Well, I don't want to talk. Yeah, I know. That's a tough thing to talk about because I don't want to be threatening. I don't want to be threatening. They understood that. And you've seen what was perhaps going to happen. And, you know, Seoul has 28 million people. We think we have big cities. You look at New York where it has 8 million people. We think it's a big city. Seoul has 28 million people. Think of that. And it's right next to the border. It's right next to the DMZ. It's right there. I mean, if this would have happened, I think, you know, I've heard, 100,000 people. I think you could have lost 20 million people, 30 million people. This is really an honor for me to be doing this because I think, you know, potentially you could have lost, you know, 30, 40, 50 million people. The city of Seoul, one of the biggest cities in the world, is right next to the border.
once spoke about fire and fury. Is that no longer the case?
Well, at that time we needed perhaps fire and fury because we could not have allowed that kind of capability from the standpoint of the United States. And certainly Japan wasn't going to allow it either. Japan is right next door.
One more thing, Mr. President, can you tell us about the video that you showed before this?
Yeah.
When did you show that to him? What was the goal?
Today. Yeah. We had it made up by some, I hope you liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting enough to show. One in English and one in Korean. And we had it made up. I showed it to him today, actually during the meeting, toward the end of the meeting. And I think he loved it. We didn't have a big screen like you have the luxury of having. We didn't need it because we had it on a cassette and an iPad. And they played it. And about eight of their representatives were watching it. And I thought they were fascinated by it. I thought it was well done. I showed it to you because that's the future. I mean, that could very well be the future. And the other alternative is just not a very good alternative. It's just not good. But I showed it because I really want him to do something. Now, I don't think I had to show it because I really believe he wants to get it done. Yes, go ahead. How's Staten Island Ferry doing, okay? He wrote the best story about me with the Staten Island Ferry, and after that, he's never written a good story. I don't know what happened. It's a long time ago.
Mr. President, it's been a busy week for you on the international stage. You're leaving the summit here in Singapore, having determined that Kim Jong-un is a talented man. You left the G7 summit a few days ago in Canada, having determined that Prime Minister Trudeau is weak and dishonest. What do you say to America's allies who worry that you might be jeopardizing our long-term alliances and who worry that you might be treating our historic friends as enemies and our historic enemies as friends?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very fair question. I had a very good meeting with the G7, and I left the meeting, and I'll be honest, we are being taken advantage of by virtually every one of those countries very, very seriously. Now, the United States, because of bad management at the top, because of presidents that didn't care about trade or didn't understand it or whatever reason, for many years, with China being obviously the most successful at it, but the European Union is second, $151 billion we lost, they were represented at the meeting. And we're being taken advantage of on trade. Canada does have very big advantages over us in terms of trade deficits. We have a big trade deficit with Canada. I was reading where, oh, it's actually a surplus. Not a surplus. It's either 17, but it could actually be 100. You know, they put out a document. I don't know if you saw it. They didn't want me to see it, but we found it. Perhaps they were trying to show the power they have. It's close to $100 billion a year loss with Canada. They don't take our farm products, many of them. They charge what was 270%, but somebody told me the other day that a few months ago they raised it to 295% for dairy products. And it's very unfair to our farmers, and it's very unfair to the people of our country, the workers, the farmers, the companies. And we are not able to trade. They have tremendous barriers up. They have tremendous tariffs. So when I put in a countervailing tariff just to get us up a little bit so the balance isn't so much, it's like this. They said, oh, that's so terrible. I said, what's terrible? We have to catch you a little bit. We have to have a little balance. Even if it's not complete, we have to have a little balance. I say this with many countries. Anyway, we finished the meeting. Really, everybody was happy. And I agreed to sign something. I asked for changes. I demanded changes. And those changes were made. In fact, the picture with Angela Merkel, who I get along with very well, where I'm sitting there like this, that picture was we're waiting for the document because I wanted to see the final document as changed by the changes that I requested. That was a very friendly. I know it didn't look friendly, and I know it was reported like sort of nasty both ways. I was angry at her. She actually, we were just talking, the whole group, about something unrelated to everything, very friendly, waiting for the document to come back so I could read it before I leave. Anyway, I left and it was very friendly. When I got onto the plane, I think that Justin probably didn't know that Air Force One has about 20 televisions. And I see the television and he's giving a news conference about how he will not be pushed around by the United States. And I say, push him around. We just shook hands. It was very friendly. Look, countries cannot continue to take advantage of us on trade. The numbers are out over the last couple of years, and over the last many years, but over the last couple of years, this country has lost $800 billion on trade with other countries, the biggest one being China. $800 billion. $151 billion with the European Union. They don't take our agricultural products, barely. They don't take a lot of what we have, and yet they send Mercedes into us. They send BMWs into us by the millions. It's very unfair. And it's very unfair to our workers, and I'm going to straighten it out, and it won't even be tough. Okay? Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Following up on Bill's question, when your relationship with Mr. Pence is stronger right now than you plan on involving Congress in any way to move your bill?
I would like to involve Congress, yes. And no, I have a good relationship with Justin Trudeau. I really did. Other than he had a news conference that he had because he assumed I was in an airplane and I wasn't watching. He learned that's going to cost a lot of money for the people of Canada. He learned. You can't do that. You can't do that. We left. We had a very good relationship. I've had a good relationship with Justin. I have a good relationship with all. I have a very good relationship with Angela Merkel. But on NATO, we're paying 4.2%. She's paying 1% of a much smaller GDP than we have. We're paying 4.2% on a much larger. We're paying for, I mean, anyone can say from 60 to 90% of NATO. And we're protecting countries of Europe. And then on top of it, they kill us on trade. So we just can't have it that way. It's unfair to our taxpayers and to our people. But no, I have a good relationship with Justin, and I have, I think, a very good relationship with Chairman Kim right now. I really do. I think, I hope it's good, because if it is, we're going to solve a very big problem. I think we've gone a long way to solving it today. Should we keep going for a little while? I don't know. It's up to the legendary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Should we keep going, Sarah? Okay, we'll go. Well, I don't care. Hey, you know, it just means we get home a little later in the evening, right? Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. President.
How are you?
I'm nice, good. Nice. From the street science of Singapore. Welcome to the country.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed our food.
Beautiful country, I did.
I just have wanted to find out, you described this as a process. What is the immediate next step? Is there some ongoing dialogue?
Yes. Well, we're getting together next week to go into the details.
And that's
Secretary Pompeo, next week with John Bolton and our entire team to go over the details and to get this stuff done. We want to get it done. He wants to get it done. We're also working very much with South Korea. We're working with Japan. We're working with China to a lesser extent, but we're working with China.
And you're coming back to Singapore?
I would come back gladly. Your prime minister was fantastic. We were with him yesterday. He's done a great job. It was very welcoming. It really probably had it probably made a difference, actually. It's a great place. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. What was it about that first interaction with Chairman Kim this morning that made you decide not to walk away after you said that you would know within the first minute if you were sincere?
I've said that about relationships. I've said that about people. You know, in the first second, now I was generous, I said 5 seconds, but you know, in the first second, in some cases, sometimes that doesn't work out. But sometimes it does. From the beginning, we got along. But there's been a lot of groundwork. This wasn't like we went and we started talking about, as you know, right? We didn't just come in and start talking about these very complex subjects that have been going on for 70 years. We've been discussing this for months. And, you know, once the rhetoric stopped, once they did a great thing. You know, North Korea did a great thing by going to the Olympics. Because the Olympics and President Moon will tell you this. The Olympics was not exactly doing great. People didn't feel like being bombed out of the opening ceremonies. You know, they weren't exactly selling tickets. And as soon as the chairman, Chairman Kim, said, let's participate in the Olympics, it sold like wildfire and was a great success as an Olympics. It was a great success. He did a great thing. But since that time, Because as you know, a delegation came from South Korea who had just met with North Korea. They came to the White House. They told me lots of things, including the fact that they'd be willing to denuke. We have one of their great people here today, that they were willing to denuke. And once that started, we have been really talking about that from the end of the Olympics, when the whole delegation came to say various things, including denuking.
If I may, a second question. In the document that you signed earlier today, North Korea agreed to commit to denuclearization. To borrow a phrase that you have used to criticize your predecessors and political opponents, how do you ensure that North Korea is not all talk, no action?
Well, I think, can you ensure anything? Can I ensure that you're going to be able to sit down properly when you sit down? I mean, you can't ensure anything. All I can say is they want to make a deal. That's what I do. My whole life has been deals. I've done great at it. And that's what I do. And I know when somebody wants to deal, and I know when somebody doesn't. A lot of politicians don't. That's not their thing. But it is my thing. I mean, again, this really could have been done, I think, easier a long time ago. But I know I just feel very strongly, my instinct, my ability or talent, they want to make a deal. And making a deal is a great thing for the world. It's also a great thing for China. Because I can't imagine that China has, you know, is happy with somebody having nuclear weapons so close. So, you know, China was very helpful. So I think he wants to make a deal. Can anybody be certain? But we're going to be certain soon because the negotiations continue. Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead.
You mentioned that you have raised extensively the issue of human rights with China.
Yes.
I wonder what you would say to the group of people who have no ability whatsoever to hear or to see this press conference, the 100,000 North Koreans kept in a network of gulags. Have you betrayed them by legitimizing the regime in Pyongyang?
No, I think I've helped them because I think things will change. I think I've helped them. There's nothing I can say. All I can do is do what I can do. We have to stop the nuclearization, we have to do other things, and that's a very important thing. So at a certain point, hopefully you'll be able to ask me a much more positive question or make a statement. But not much I can do right now. At a certain point, I really believe he's going to do things about it. I think they are one of the great winners today, that large group of people that you're talking about. I think ultimately they're going to be one of the great winners as a group. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah.
Would you ever consider removing the sanctions without significant improvement in the human rights situation?
No, I want significant improvement. I want to know that it won't be happening. And again, once you start that process, there'll be a point at which, even though you won't be finished for a while because it can't happen scientifically or mechanically, but you're not going to be able to go back. You know, once we reach that point, I'll start to give that very serious thought. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. You first.
Mr. President, did you also discuss the cost of denuclearization and how North Korea is about to foot the bill while crippling sanctions remain in place on the challenging stage in Singapore?
Well, I think that South Korea and I think that Japan will help them very greatly. I think they're prepared to help them. They know they're going to have to help them. I think they're going to help them very greatly. We won't have to help them. The United States has been paying a big price at a lot of different places, but South Korea, which obviously is right next door, and Japan, which essentially is next door, they're going to be helping them. And I think they're going to be doing a very generous job and a terrific job. So they will be helping them. And yes, ma'am. Go ahead, behind. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I'd like to follow up on Steve's question. He asked how long it would take to denuclearize the North Korean peninsula. You said a long time. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know when you say a long time. I think we will do it as fast as it can be done scientifically, as fast as it can be done mechanically. I don't think, I've read horror stories. It's a 15-year process, okay? Assuming you wanted to do it quickly, I don't believe that. I think whoever wrote that is wrong. But there will be a point at which, when you're 20% through, you can't go back. I had an uncle who was a great professor for, I believe, 40 years at MIT, and I used to discuss nuclear with him all the time. He was a great expert. He was a great, brilliant genius, Dr. John Trump at MIT. I think he was there 40 years, I was told. In fact, the head of MIT sent me a book on my uncle. But we used to talk about nuclear. He was talking about a very complex subject. It's not just like, oh, gee, let's get rid of the nukes. It takes a period of time. But the main period of time that I'm talking is that first period. When you hit a certain point, you can't go back. It's very hard to go back.
And how long will that take?
Oh, we don't know, but it'll go pretty quickly. Go ahead. Sure.
Thanks, Mr. President. I wanted to ask again on the sanctions campaign. You alluded at the very beginning that the Chinese are not doing as great a job securing the border as they were before. You expressed, you know, some doubts when Kim went to see President Xi. The Russian foreign minister was in Pyongyang and said there shouldn't be any sanctions while these negotiations are underway. And the South Koreans are now talking about restoring some form of trade. So with all of those players appearing to be moving toward eroding sanctions, how can you keep the sanctions regime in place? What leverage do you have on these countries?
Well, I think we have a lot of leverage. I think we have tremendous leverage. I do believe that China, despite my relationship with President Xi, a man who I told you I have great respect for and like also a lot, you know, we're having very tough talks on trade. And I think that probably affects China somewhat, but I have to do what I have to do. And I think over the last 2 months, the border is more open than it was when we first started. But that is what it is. We have to do it. We have a tremendous deficit in trade, commonly known as a trade deficit. We have a tremendous deficit in trade with China. We have to do something about it. We can't continue to let that happen. And I think that has had an impact on my relationship in terms of the border. I don't think it has a relationship, you know, I don't think it affects my feeling or my relationship to President Xi, but when we first started, we weren't ready to go that route. And as we started preparing and getting ready to do that, I think that's had an impact on, frankly, the border, which is a shame. But I have to do it. I have no choice. For our country, I have to do it. South Korea will do whatever is necessary to get a deal done. If that means we can't trade, well, they're not going to trade. They're definitely not going to trade. If they think, and they would do this with our concurrence, if they think that they can do some work because we're very far down the line, we're actually very far. You know, that document, when you read it today, that's far down the line. That's not something that just happened to be put together. This was done over months. And again, the rhetoric was important and the sanctions were important. I don't even know which one was more important. They were both important. Yeah, go ahead.
President Steiner from the New York Times. I was wondering if you could give us some sense of whether Chairman Kim told you how many nuclear weapons he believes he's made, whether he's willing to turn those over first, and then whether in your mind you need to do more than was done in the Iran deal for actually dismantling the both the uranium and the plutonium processes, and whether or not you had a sense that Chairman Kim really understood what that involved and had a timetable in his own mind of shutting that.
Well, David, I can tell you he understands. He understands it so well. He understands it better than the people that are doing the work for him. That is an easy one. As far as what he has, it's substantial, very substantial. The timing will go quickly. I believe you'll see some good action. I mean, as an example, one of the things with the missile set, I think you're probably surprised to hear that was a throw-in at the end, the missile set. But I really believe, David, that it's going to go very quickly. I really believe that it's going to go fast. And it is a very substantial arsenal. There's no question about it. You know, I used to say, maybe it's all talk and no action. But we have pretty good intelligence into that, although probably less there than any other country. You understand that maybe better than anybody in the room. Probably less there than any other country. But we have enough intelligence to know that what they have is very substantial. This is why, David, I always say that this shouldn't have taken place so late into the process. Wouldn't this have been better if it was 5 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago and we didn't have to worry about not having a successful meeting like today? So, and I still love my first interview with you, David. I still have that interview, actually. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
If there is a second summit with the chairman Kim Jong-un, will it be in Pyongyang or Washington?
We haven't set that up. We'll probably need another summit. We'll probably need, or meeting, we can use a different term. But we'll probably need another one. I will say this, we're much further along than I would have thought. I did not think we'd be here. I thought, and I've told people, I didn't want to build up people's hopes too much. I told people, I thought that this would be a successful meeting if we got along, we developed a relationship, and we could have maybe gotten to this point in 3 or 4 months from now. But it really happened very quickly. A lot of that was because of the foundation that was, you know, put down before we met. A lot of things happened very fast. We didn't have, as an example, bringing back the remains. That was not one of the things that was on our agenda today. I brought it up at the very end because so many people had talked to me about it. And I brought it up at the very end, and he was really very gracious. Instead of saying, well, let's talk about it the next time, he said, it makes sense. We will do it. And he knew, you know, they know where many of those incredible people are, where they're buried. Along roads, along highways, along paths, usually, because our soldiers were moving back and forth and they had to move rapidly. It's very sad. But he knew, and that was brought up at the very end. And, you know, it was really great that he was able to do it. A lot of people are going to be very happy about that. Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Robinson, One American News. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice way you treat us. We appreciate it. Really, it's very good. It's really beautiful what you do. Go ahead. And now I'll probably get this killer question.
Well, I do want to talk about the future of North Korea.
It's all right.
Specifically, the people are. Kim Jong-un is saying he's wanting a brighter future with prosperity for his people, yet we know they've lived under oppression. You showed him this video of what the future could be like. But do you have an idea specifically of the model that he would like to go towards economically? Is he open to more economic freedom?
It's a good question. So you saw a tape today, and that I think was done really well, but that was done at the highest level of future development. I told him, you may not want this. You may want to do a much smaller version of this. I mean, you're going to do something, but you may want to do a smaller version. You may not want that with the trains and the everything, you know, super everything, the top. And maybe you won't want that. It's going to be up to them. It's going to be up to them. It's going to be up to the people what they want. They may not want that. I can understand that too. But that was a version of what could happen, what could take place. As an example, they have great beaches. You see that whenever they're exploding their cannons into the ocean, right? So I said, boy, look at that. Wouldn't that make a great condo behind? And I explained, I said, you know, instead of doing that, you could have the best hotels in the world right there. Think of it from a real estate perspective. You have South Korea, you have China, and they own the land in the middle. How bad is that, right? It's great. But I told them, I said, you may not want to do what's there. You may want to do a smaller version of it, or, you know, and that could be. Although I tell you what, he looked at that tape. He looked at that iPad, and I'm telling you, they really enjoyed it, I believe. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. A couple more. Okay, we'll do three more. Yeah, go ahead. Go. Yes, hi, Brian. Am I on the cover again this week? Boy, have I been... I have so many covers. Huh? I know. That's okay.
Do you now see Kim Jong-un as an equal?
In what way?
You just showed a video that showed you and Kim Jong-un on equal footing and discussing the future.
No, I think that I don't view it that way. See, I don't view it that way. I'll do whatever it takes to make the world a safer place. If I have to say I'm sitting on a stage, I mean, I understand what you're getting at. If I have to say I'm sitting on a stage with Chairman Kim, and that's going to get us to save 30 million lives, could be more than that. I'm willing to sit on the stage. I'm willing to travel to Singapore very proudly, very gladly. Again, I you know, other than the fact that it is taking my time, they have given up a tremendous amount. They've given it up even before, and even add the Olympics to it. You know, you could add the Olympics to the question. They went to the Olympics. They took an Olympics that was going to be a massive failure that maybe wouldn't have even opened. And they made it a tremendous success by agreeing to.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.